things in life is to know, be saved and know it, and be in the will of God and know it. There's nothing any greater than them two things. Be saved and know it, and in the will of God and know it. Amen. I know everybody's tired tonight, and so I won't preach about an hour and a half. No, I'm just kidding. Let's open the Bible, the 1 Thessalonians, and I'm just going to preach just a little thought that the Lord gave me to get us ready for the camp meeting. You have to be just completely heartless to be a preacher. No mercy at all. First Thessalonians chapter 2. The reason we are just relentless is because, boy, you let up one service and the devil will do something. You miss one day reading your Bible, he'll knock you for a loop. You do one day without praying, he'll then get something in your heart. They ain't supposed to be there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. All right, now everybody give me attention tonight. The Lord laid this little thought on my heart for our church. Sometimes preach a sermon, and a sermon will fit any time, about any place. A message is for only one particular crowd at a particular time. That's what this is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica. And these Thessalonian Christians hadn't been saved very long. But look what he says to them. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavor the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. What a verse. Look at verse 18. We would have come unto you, even I, Paul, he said, one time, two times, but Satan hindered us. Now, according to that verse, what he was saying was, I wanted to come and see you. Get this down just a little bit, brother. I wanted to come and see you, but the devil stop me somehow or another. That's what he's saying. You wouldn't believe that the Apostle Paul could be hindered by Satan like that. We think, man, the great Apostle Paul, great man like that, he had the victory all the time, and maybe he did have the victory a lot of time, but Satan hindered him. Now, with that thought in mind tonight, here's what I want to preach on. Don't let the devil cheat you out of our camp meeting. Don't let the devil cheat you out of the camp meeting. Now imagine that I'm talking to you, just me and you, tonight. Nobody else in the room, just me and you. I'm sitting at my desk, you're sitting across from me, and I'm saying, don't let the devil cheat you out of this camp meeting. The devil's job is to cheat you. Have you ever been cheated? I have. Don't it sort of make you mad when somebody cheats you, when they sell you something, and it ain't no good, or they burn you blisters, like I used to say. Somebody cheats you. Have you ever been cheated? Anybody in here, somebody ever sold you a car or something, and it wasn't worth a dime, they lied to you, and just burnt you one, and boy, you know that feeling you get when you've been cheated, makes you mad. You're like, why'd I let them do that to me? Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever been cheated by the devil? Yes, you have. That is, the devil's cheated me out of many a thing. He really has. And that's his job. Did you know the devil cheated Adam and Eve out of their home in paradise? He got Eve to eat that fruit. Listen to me. He got Eve to eat that fruit and cheated them out of a home in paradise. They would have been so much better off, but the devil cheated them. Adam and Eve had to leave the Garden of Eden because the devil cheated them out of it. Have you ever been cheated? Yes, you have. It's a bad feeling. I hate somebody to cheat me. And I hate to know that I got cheated out of something. You don't want to get cheated out of our camp meeting. He cheated Cain out of his free, full, clean conscience when he killed his brother Abel. He cheated Job out of his family. Somebody said, no, God did. No, God didn't. The devil did that. Remember, he went up to God and said, Job serves you. Does Job fear God for naught? Let me take his family, and he'll curse you to your face. The devil cheated Job out of all those blessings, and he lost them. The devil cheated Judas out of his soul. He sure did. He cheated Judas out of his soul. And he cheated you out of a blessing right there, out of the listening to this message. And the Bible said over in one place that his job is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So it's the devil's job to steal from you. Have you ever had anything stole from you? I remember one time I went and played basketball, and a lot of times when I go play basketball, you don't take your wallet into them gyms, because people hang around gyms are crooks. I'd stick my wallet up underneath the front seat of my car, stick it up there like that, I had $50 in my wallet. And coming home, I was with somebody, somebody's with me, and this old boy standing on the side of the road hitchhiking. I picked him up, and I witnessed to him. It's been years ago. And I witnessed to him, and I mean, nobody else picked him up. Nobody else had time to fool with him. And I stopped and picked him up. And when I got home, let him out, when I got home, my billfold was gone. And I thought, that sorry thing. I gave him a ride, nobody else would, and he stole my wallet and $50. That's a bad feeling when somebody steals from you like that. Have you ever had anything stole from you? I wonder why we don't get mad at the devil for stealing things and cheating us out of blessing. To me, this is just as clear as a bell. But for some of y'all, it's not even going to register. I don't understand that. Some of you teenagers, listen to me. Some of you young people will miss a lot of church this weekend. I don't understand how come you can't get it. To me, it's as plain as day. We're giving away $100 bills, and you're getting cheated out of it. We're putting steak on the table, and you're saying, I don't think I'll go. I want to go here tomorrow night. I don't think I'll go to the morning service. Now, if you have to work, I'm talking about the devil cheating you out of the camp meeting. Don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. Don't let him cheat you out of the camp meeting. He wants to steal. I want to say just a few things here, and I'm going to talk about our day a little bit yesterday. Me and Brother Mike Slaughter went out on his route yesterday, and Bob and Tio went out on the other side. We go in apartments, we go one way, and they go the other way. I'm going to tell you some things that just happened to us yesterday. And I'm going to say, don't let your friends cheat you out of the camp meeting. Don't let your friends cheat you out of the camp meeting. Your friends are going to call Friday or Saturday and say, I need you to help me. I need you to help me do something. You want to go somewhere? We ain't been so-and-so a long time. You want to go? And your friends will cheat you out of the camp meeting. See, the devil's not going to come up and say, you know what, I'm the devil, and I'm going to cheat you out of the camp meeting. He's not going to do that. He's going to come put it on your friend's heart to say, oh my goodness, I've got my stuff needs to be done. Will you please come over here and help me? It's an emergency. I need you. You say, well, I love you and all of that, but we're having camp meeting. We're having camp meeting. I don't want my friends. I got friends, but by the grace of God, my friends ain't going to cheat me out of this weekend. My weekend is unplanned out. I'm planning on being here if God will let me, and my health's okay, and everything's all right. I plan on being here by the grace of God. If one of my good friends calls me Thursday evening and says, Brother Danny, I need you to help me, I'll say, look, I don't mind helping you, but you're going to have to wait about 10:30 tonight before I can help you. We're having camp meeting. Don't you get that? Can y'all see that? The devil will try to cheat you. I don't know about you tonight, but I need what we're going to have here this weekend. Is anybody in here does not need a camp meeting? Anybody in here don't need your prayers answered or God to moving your life or working your family. Well, nobody's raising their hand. I guess we all need it, don't we? Well, then tonight, I'm not going to let my friends cheat me out of it. Amen? Your friends will want you to go somewhere. Your old friend will call you up and say, hey, want to go here with us Saturday night? And something inside you say, oh, come on, you missed one night. That one night might be the night God works in your life. That one night might be the night God answers your prayer. That one night might be the night you get the victory. I'm not going to let my friends keep me out. We talked to a girl yesterday, and me and Brother Mike, we was in his apartment complex, and this, I said, girl, lady, I don't know how she was, maybe in her 30s, early 30s, and she come walking around the apartment complex, and she come walking around like this, and with me or him, one put up and gave her a flyer, and we began to talk to her about coming to church. And I said, what's your name? She said, Tina. I said, Tina, you go to church? She said, no. I said, Tina, did you know the Lord's coming back? I said, Tina, did you know Jesus is coming? And that girl got a pale look on her face, and she said, you are the third person today to talk to me about church. I said, God must love you, Tina. He sent me and Mother Mike by to tell you about Jesus. And He wants to save you. And about that time, she looked down and started to cry. And big tears started rolling down her cheeks. And I said, Tina, God loves you. And God cares about you. And He sent us by to tell you about God and how He loves you. And she looked down and I said, look, if we prayed with you right now, would you pray? And she looked at us and looked down, looked at us and looked down and shook her head and said, I can't. And then you could almost see it on her face. I've got somebody waiting on me tonight. I've got a date tonight. I've got something I want to do tonight. You could almost see the devil just cheating her out. Listen, I don't know where that girl is right now. She may be in hell right now. I don't know. But if she is, the devil cheated her out of her chance to be saved. See, the devil put something out there and say, now you're not going to get to do this. You're not going to get this fun. If you go to that camp meet, if you get saved, you're not. And so she let whatever that was cheat her out of a blessing. Let me say this tonight. You don't want your friends. Listen, you don't want no boyfriend, no girl. I have known girls so dumb that their boyfriend couldn't go, and they said, if you're not going, I'm not going. Anybody that dumb does not even need to have a driver's license. Anybody that retarded, honest to the Lord, brother. Listen, if your boyfriend says, I can't go, some of you ought to sort of say, glory to God, I might get a better blessing. I can sit up close to the front and listen. Amen? Amen? I mean, I've heard boys say, well, honey, if you can't go, I'm not going to go. Lord help, man, what is wrong with you? Is your mind controlled by demons? Are you crazy? I'm going to come on down to the house of God and set my feet up under the table and open my Bible and say, dear God, help that man to feed me and speak to my heart. I'm not going to let my friends cheat me out of a blessing, cheat me. I'm not going to let my family cheat me. You know what the devil will do? The devil will use your family. You and your wife will get in a fight about Tuesday night or Wednesday night, and it'll knock you out of a day and a half of a camp meeting if you're not careful. I've been pastoring a long time. I know how this goes. You'll get in the awfulest fight ever was. You'll say, I hate you. Why did I ever marry you? I wish you was dead. I wish I'd have never seen you and all of that. And then the devil will say, there ain't no use in you going to the camp meeting and acting all spiritual. And you'll say, that's right. Heck with it. I'm just going to stay out. The devil has cheated you. You say, well, I ain't going to go to church and be a hypocrite. Listen, one more hypocrite ain't going to hurt us. Come on. Amen. I'm telling you, brother, don't let your family cheat you out of the camp meeting. I'm telling you, it was sad. We knocked on a door yesterday. One of them $1,450. We knocked on yesterday, and the door came open about that much. And there was a little kid. I didn't even see it. I guess he might have saw it. I was over on this side of the porch, and he's on that side. And the door opened about that far, and he said, hey, honey, would you like to go in? And a voice in there, which evidently was the mama, hollered out and said, hey, shut that door. We ain't going to church. And that kid went, shut that door just like that. Right. I don't know if anybody else had an encounter like that. You did?
But before that kid could take a track, before that kid could get a sucker, before we could say, Jesus loved you, Mama said, shut that door. We ain't going to church. Then you hate that. Wouldn't that hate to be your, you hate that to be your child? I'm telling you tonight, brother, that poor little young'un sat there and not Mama said no. Mama said no. That kid was cheated out of coming this morning. That kid might have got saved this morning. And the devil used her family. Look at that. Listen, I think you ought to love your family. I think you ought to respect your mom and dad. I think you ought to give the utmost respect to your parents. But when it comes to getting saved, don't let the devil use your family to keep you out of church. Don't let the devil use your family to keep you out of heaven. Don't let your family, let the devil use your family to keep you out of God's will. Don't let him do it. Amen. I'm not going to let my family keep me out. I'm not going to let my family cheat me. Now, I may have one in the hospital dying Thursday night. I don't know. I may have to be in the hospital. I may be in the hospital. But by the grace of God, if I can be here, I ain't going to let my family keep me out of church. Your family's always going to come and say, I think you ought to spend some time with me Friday evening. That's what your sister or your brother or somebody's going to call and say, well, I need you. I don't know, it's awful quiet in here tonight or something. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know, maybe, have I got a tag hanging out of my shirt or something? Huh? Yesterday, he told you about another girl named Tina. She didn't let her family stop her from going. This girl came to the door, lady. She's probably about 30 years of age. We knocked on her door. She came to the door. Her name was Tina also. We started talking to her, telling her about church. Did she come this morning, Brother Matt? And I talked to her, and we began to talk to her, and she got a look on her face. My goodness, you wouldn't believe, of hunger. And I said, Tina, are you saved? She said, no. I said, have you ever been saved? She said, no. I said, can I tell you how to get saved? She said, yeah. I said, number one, you got to realize you're a sinner. I went through the four steps. I said, number two, you've got to realize there's a price to pay for sin. Number three, you got to realize Jesus paid that price. And number four, you got to realize how to accept Him. And I said, are you willing to do that, Tina? She said, yes. I held her hand like that. Me and Mike prayed with her. She bowed her head. She trusted the Lord as her Savior. She asked Him to save her right there on the porch. Amen? And I mean, boy, we had a hallelujah time. I said, did you mean that prayer? She said, yes, I did. I said, according to that book, if you ask God to save you, He saved you right now. And she said, I believe it. And she was happy. I said, where'd you go if you died right now? She said, I hope heaven. I said, now wait a minute. If He said he'd call on you, He'd save you. And she said, yes, I did. I was trying to give her assurance. And that girl got saved right there on the porch. You know what? She didn't let her family stop her. She didn't let the devil cheat her. The other woman said no. The other Tina shook her head and walked on down through the apartment complex. But this Tina said yes and got saved by the grace of God. She let the devil cheat her, but she got the blessing and beat the devil. Don't you let the devil cheat you. Don't let him use your finances. Now here's the way the devil used your financial situation to mess up your week at the county. One, you have so much money that you just want to go do something else this weekend. I'll not spend very long on this point, because I doubt if there's many, probably not many people in our church that have so much money that you're going to be doing something else this weekend. I mean, if you're just loaded and you got millions in the bank, you might say, boy, it snowed. Did y'all hear it done snowing out in Colorado, Jerry? It snowed 9 inches, man. I mean, and bad weather's coming this way. It's supposed to hit about Wednesday. And they say 9 inches of snow in somewhere out there. And you know what? If you got lots of money, something say, boy, let's go to Colorado. I'm not going to spend any time on that point. I don't know anybody. I mean, you say there's one thing the devil can't do, Brother Danny. He can't cheat me out of spending too much money because I ain't got none. Amen? Now, the next thing the devil will do with your finances is not having enough. You say, well, Brother Danny, I ain't even got the gas to drive to church 5 times this week. Listen, if I was you, I'd see your pastor after service. And I'd say, Brother Danny, my heart's right. I want to come to church, but I ain't got the cash to get here. And we'll find somebody that lives in your neighborhood to swing by and pick you up. I'm going to tell you something. I hope I have the cash to get here. I plan on it. But if I didn't have the cash to get here, I'd call Brother Jason to swing by and pick me up. And if he couldn't, I'd call Kevin and Gina to swing by and pick me up. And if they couldn't, I'd call Brother Roy Lee to pick me up. I'd call somebody else. I'd call somebody and say, listen, I want to go to camp meeting. I'm the pastor. I want to be there. Amen. Listen, brother, you're a member of the church just like I am. You ought to have a desire in your heart to be here and say, Lord, if God, I ain't letting the devil cheat me out. You know what? You know what burns me up? We're going to have some of the best preaching this side of heaven. Old-fashioned Holy Ghost singing. People going to drive from no telling where, Maryland, down in Georgia. People are going to drive hundreds of miles. And some of you folks will say, well, I'm going to try to go a night or two. What is wrong with you? You're letting the devil cheat you. At a camp meeting. Say amen right there. You say, Brother Danny, I just can't afford it. Call somebody, swing by, pool, carpool, and get together like that. Amen? You say, if I just had somebody rich, oh, let me tell you about something else today. Remind me of something else. Me and Mike was out there in them house. You see everything in them projects, brother. Y'all ought to go. Y'all ought to go. It's really fun. We really had fun yesterday. I mean, it was hot. My face felt like it got sunburnt. We was out there all day. But it was a lot of fun. And I walked across the street, and these four black girls come out all dressed up, hopped in this Jaguar. And, you know, I thought, man, that's a nice car. So I've been on, I said, cool car, man. It's light blue. And they was all getting their head and makeup on, buddy. They was dolled up. Looked like the Beyonce and all them. I mean, all painted up, you know. And I said, man, that's a nice car. Where are you going? And one of them looked over at me and said, are you single? And I said, are you rich? And boy, they laughed. They started dying laughing. They like, you know how they laugh. They got a sense of humor, and I got one too, man. She fired at me. I fired it right back at her. Amen. But she said, you single? I said, you really? They died laughing. They loved that. I said, but I started saying, let me drive this car around the block. I'd like to drive that Jag, man. That's a jig and a jag right there. Amen. But I tell you something, brother. We had a great time. We had a great time. And I'm telling you tonight, listen, brother, you say, well, boy, if I had that nice car, if I had all that money, I'd be at the camp meeting. Oh, I don't know. If you smoke, you'd be here. If you want to, somebody will swing by and get you. Don't let your finances cheat you out. All right? Amen. Don't let your finances. You know what else the devil do to finances? Worrying about your money situation. You can sit up and worry all night. It ain't going to put a dime in your pocket. I know people in here that's having financial problems. And my heart goes out to you because I've been there. I know what it's like. I've had to preach in Charlotte before and not had the gas to get there. And had an old man I had to push off, roll it down the hill and borrow the money for gas to get to Charlotte and preach. I know what it's like. I hate being broke. I hate it. Being broke is one of the awfulest feelings in the world. Have you ever been broke? If you ain't, you ought to be once in a while. Buddy, I'm telling you what, it'll make you appreciate when God finally does bless you. Being broke, behind on your bills, okay, that's the most miserable feeling. And buddy, I've been there before. I remember one time I was so broke, and I was pastor of church, and I was broke, spent all my money, had a bad situation going on, and brother, I loaded up everything I could find, took it to trade lot in Asheville, and sold everything I could sell. Just I was embarrassed to tell anybody that I did that to put food on the table and pay for the girls' schooling, and I went to the trade lot in Asheville and sold everything I could sell to try to. But I made up my mind, I can't live like this. You can't dig yourself out of a hole. You got to just work and work and do the best you can and get up and don't let the devil cheat you out of a blessing. Let me tell you something, brother. These blessings that God's handing out this weekend are free. The preaching is free. The singing is free. You might not have a dime in your pocket, but you come and you sit down here tonight and sit down here Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday morning, Friday morning, Saturday morning if you can, and sit here and say, Lord of God, I ain't got a dime in my pocket, but I'm saved, and I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm going to get a blessing out of this preaching. Hallelujah. Preach it, Brother Frankie. Preach it, Brother White. Preach it, Ed, man. I'm going to scout. Don't say, well, I'm just just depressed, so I'm going to stay home. Listen, if you're depressed, the best thing in the world is an old-fashioned camp meeting. Amen? Like Brother Mike Hatt say, too blessed to be depressed. How MC Hammer sings that, amen? Something like that. I'm too blessed to be depressed. Finally, and I'll be through. Don't let your failures cheat you out of camp meeting. Here's what's going to happen. We'll get up here and we'll start singing, the Lord is good, His mercy. And something inside you, you'll start to cry and you'll want to raise your hand. And by the time you raise your hand, the devil will say, look at you. Raise your hand, you hypocrite. Remember what you done the other day? And he'll remind you of your sins. Man, I've been getting ready to preach before in some church in Florida or who knows where, sitting like this right here, and the preacher, every time the preacher starts saying, now Brother Castle's going to, right about the time the preacher starts saying that, the devil hits my mind and reminds me of everything wrong I've ever done in my life. I mean, he just throws it at you. Hey, you can't get up there. Can't you imagine that? You can't get up there and preach. You can't get up there. Come on, you hypocrite. Why don't you get up there and tell them what you did? Why don't you get up there and tell them, you big liar? You big hypocrite. But I've made up my mind, I'm not going to let the devil cheat me. Listen, people. Listen. Everybody knows me. I'm transparent, man. You can see right through me. Everybody tells me, they say, Brother Danny, I can tell by looking at your eyes what you're thinking. People tell me that all the time. They say, we can tell up there if you like something, if you don't like something, if you're, and I try to hide it, but I can't. It just comes out on my face. I'm transparent. And the devil works on me and says, you the sorriest Christian ever. Listen, people, I'll go ahead and admit it. I am a sorry Christian. I've messed up a million times. I've rededicated my life more times than Carter's got Liverpool, brother. I mean, I've asked God to forgive me, but let me tell you something else. I'm forgiven. I'm washed in the blood. My name's in God's book, and I ain't going to let my failure keep me out of the blessing. I'm just going to shout and kick my feet up and say, glory to God. I'm not shouting because I'm good. I'm shouting because He's good. I'm not rejoicing because I've done good. I ain't done good. But He sure has, and I'm going to worship Him and honor Him and have myself a time this weekend. Amen. If you wait and you are worthy, you'll never rejoice. Amen. You say, well, Brother Danny, I just feel like it. There you go by your feelings again. You don't go by your feelings. You go by what that book said. Don't let your failures. You know, when you sin, you automatically shy away from God. I've talked to young people who said that, boy, I sin, Brother Danny. I've committed a sin. I just don't feel right going to church. No. You got it backwards. That's when you need to be in church more and more and more and more and more. That's like saying, I'm very sick and I don't feel like I should go to the doctor. You know, that's stupid. The devil's cheating you, man. You say, well, Brother Danny, I've been sinning and I've been drinking and I've been having sex and I've been doing this and I've been doing, I just don't want to come back to church. That's the worst possible attitude you can have. Church is where you ought to be. Right here in this altar. Getting it right with God. Asking Him to forgive you. Cleansing your heart. Getting it right and going on for the glory of God. Amen. You say, Brother Danny, you mean to tell me there's people in our church actually have committed those sins? Yeah, just like you. Some of you gossip all the time. You don't even ever repent. God don't bless you. You don't even ever ask forgiveness. Amen. I'd rather convert a person, commit one sin, repent of it, and go on for God than I have to live in pride and rebellion and gossip and attitude. I mean that. Don't let your failures. The devil will say, who do you think you are going to a camp meeting? You can't rejoice. Look what you did. What if all these people knew what you did? He's the accuser of the brethren. That's what the devil is. He's the accuser of the brethren. You know, somebody was talking the other day, and I hate to tell you this, but I did see part of this movie. A long time ago, many, many years ago, there's a movie come out called I Know What You Did Last Summer. And I can't believe these people killed a bunch of people or something. Somebody killed some people and threw them in a lake or something, and somebody knew it. Or somebody thought they knew it or something. These people had to go around all the time thinking, somebody knows what we did last summer. And then I saw the other day, it was advertised on TV, they come out with another and said, I still know what you did. Have you heard about this? Has anybody heard about it? And I guess that's part two, I assume, right? I know you're ashamed to tell me, ain't you? Is that true? Is that part two? Okay. Part two says, and you know what I see? You know what I thought of? That's a devil. That's a devil. He came to me and said, I still know what you did, Danny Castle. About a year later, I still know what you did. God, ain't he sickening? Ain't he sickening? Ain't the devil sickening? Hey, that's right there, some of these people. I still know what you did. To say, well, shut up. The Lord don't. The Lord don't see it. He put as far as the east is from the west. How do you like that? Amen. Brother, it's in the depths of the sea. Amen. The devil said, I still know. Shut up then, brother. I know what you did, old slew foot. You did a lot yourself. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, I'm not going to let my failures keep me out of camp meeting. Amen. By the time we come up to sing, the Lord is good, the devil's going to jump on your lap and say, I still know what you did. Say, well, who cares? You better shut up. I'll get up there and tell everybody. Big deal, brother. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. I'm going to not let my failures cheat me out of having a good time. It's under the blood. Now tonight, all I know to tell y'all is here we go. Tomorrow we're going to work. I'm going to make signs, work on my radio tapes, do this, prepare. We're going to pray. We still got a 7-day fast going. Up until Wednesday, if God lays it on your heart, fast again. All I know to tell you is be here every service you can. Let the kids lay out of school Friday, Mama, if you can. That's what we always done. Let the kids lay out of school Friday and come to church if you can. If you're not working, be here every service. Let me say this. Those morning services are just as important as them night services. Some people have the attitude of, that morning crowd, there ain't many there. And really the only reason he does that is because there are no visiting preachers. They want to get up there and see how good they are, so he lets them preach a little bit. That's really not why we have morning services. Sometimes I've seen God do more than morning services. And I have the night services. So you be here Friday morning, Friday night, Saturday morning, if you can. If you have to work, I understand and God understands. But if you don't, be here. Be here. And we're going to see God do something.